when my father was in high school, he and his older brother, Charlie, became Christians. They didn't grow up in a Christian home. They rarely, if ever, attended church as children. But in high school, my father and his older brother, Charlie, joined a church. They were baptized. They became Christians. They were the first Christians in their family. But shortly after becoming a Christian, my father's brother, Charlie, who had already graduated from high school, joined the Navy and left home. Charlie had been away from home for only a few short months when the family received some devastating news. Medical tests revealed that Charlie had leukemia. By the time they discovered this disease, it had almost completely destroyed my uncle's body. Doctors gave him 1 week to live, and they told the family to travel as quickly as they could from Georgia to Maryland, but they did not arrive before Charlie died. I am told that the family's grief was overwhelming. My father recounts that Charlie's death was extremely difficult for him because they had been so close as brothers. And the grief was difficult enough, but there was something else that added to my father's experience, something else that made the situation even more difficult. For you see, my father was now a Christian, and the rest of the family was not. So he began to struggle with how he was supposed to mourn his brother's death. He thought, I know Charlie is in heaven. He is with God. He is better off than he used to be. Maybe I'm supposed to be happy for him. Maybe I'm supposed to be strong in my faith as a witness to the rest of the family. But I still feel sad. And he wondered, is it okay for me, a Christian, to grieve like everybody else? How should a Christian grieve? Well, tomorrow is Memorial Day. As John shared earlier, this day began with a few southern states remembering the soldiers who were killed in the Civil War. Later, the day expanded to include all soldiers who died fighting in service for this country. And today, Memorial Day honors all American soldiers who died in service to the United States of America. It is an important, meaningful, significant day for our country. But for many people, the importance of this day even extends beyond this important remembrance. As we remember those who died in service to this country, for many people, Memorial Day has also become a day where we visit the graves of other family members and loved ones who have passed away. It is a day to give tribute to and remember these special people in our lives. For many, Memorial Day is a time to remember not only those who served this country and died in that way, but also all of our loved ones who preceded us in death. So how are we as Christians to deal with death? Is it okay for Christians to grieve as everyone else grieves? How should a Christian grieve? If someone close to you has died, a soldier, a service person, a friend, a sibling, a child, a parent, a spouse, maybe you struggle with some of these same questions. How should a Christian grieve? What is the appropriate Christian response to death? Memorial Day is a great time for us to reflect on these questions. For as Christians, we know that if the other person had a relationship with God, then he or she is in heaven. They are better off. Are we to grieve, to be sad when we have this reassurance? The passage we read earlier in our scripture, in our service for today, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. Remember what he said. He said, brothers and Christians, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have died, or listen to this, or grieve like the rest of humanity who have no hope. And yet, we often feel sad. We feel numb. We feel lonely. We feel depressed. We feel angry. We feel confused. We feel full of despair. There are times for all of us as we experience grief when grief crashes over us, time after time, overwhelming us. I remember talking to a man who had recently lost his wife. And here's what he said to me. Sometimes I'm just walking around the house and all of a sudden it hits me, the grief. And I have to sit down because the tears, the sadness, it's just too much, he said. And as Christians, sometimes we find ourselves wondering, is this normal? Is this how a Christian is supposed to grieve? Or are we supposed to be strong in our faith? Are we supposed to simply trust God? Is it okay for me to be sad, for me to cry uncontrollably, for me to be angry, for me to grieve, even though I know my loved one is with God? How are we as Christians supposed to grieve? In our passage for today, death has made its untimely way into the life of a family and a community. And it's interesting because each person, each central person in our passage for today is a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. And here's what's also interesting. Every one of those individuals experiences this death, listen to this, in a different way. And because they are different, these individuals have something to teach us about how we are to experience death and how we are to grieve. Let's start with Martha this morning. Martha is the first person we see who encounters Jesus, and she is a person who is very open with her feelings. As soon as she hears that Jesus is coming, that he is making his way to their location, then she does not sit and wait for him. She leaves and runs out to meet him. She rushes to see Jesus. She has something to say to him, and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, what is behind her words? Surely there are a lot of emotions that are there, but I sense a lot of anger. I sense frustration. I sense that she is upset. If you notice, there are no tears with Martha. That will be different for Mary, but she says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." I believe she is angry. We can understand those feelings. Many of us feel anger when death comes to someone we love. Sometimes we even feel angry at God. But maybe we are uncomfortable expressing our anger toward God. Maybe we are taught that good Christians don't get angry with God. Or maybe we have admired someone who went through death and seem to draw closer to God rather than experience any anger whatsoever. So we might feel that if we have anger at God, we feel like, well, maybe something's wrong with me if I'm angry with God. I'm supposed to be a strong, faithful Christian. Maybe I'm not supposed to be angry. But Martha here teaches us something different. I believe in our text for today, Martha teaches us it's okay to be angry when someone dies. In fact, it's okay to be angry even at God. Martha shows us that anger is a natural response to grief, and sometimes even anger at God is a natural and normal reaction even for the most faithful, dedicated Christians. A quick look through the Bible shows us that some of the people who were strongest in their faith often were those who expressed their anger at God in the most astounding ways. When God and Jacob had a disagreement, what does Jacob do? He actually wrestles with God's angel. When the Israelites stood on the banks of the sea with Pharaoh's army coming right after them and they had no place to go, nowhere to turn, they screamed at God for bringing them to this place in their life. The psalmist, time after time after time again, writes psalms of laments that share his frustration and his anger at God with the tragedies of life. The Hebrew people, especially the prophets, would often stand upright and shake their fists at God when anger boiled up inside of them. What we find throughout all of the Bible is expressing anger even at God is a natural part of faith. But that is not true for many of us. We often feel uncomfortable. But again, look at Martha. She hurries up to Jesus not to hug him, not to thank him for coming. No, she wants to tell him something. And she is angry, saying, if you had been here, if you had come earlier, this would not have happened. And notice, Jesus does not condemn her at all. He does not scold her for being angry. In fact, Jesus understands that her anger is a natural and normal response to the death of Lazarus. Mitchell and Anderson, in their book, All Our Losses, All Our Griefs, describe God in this way. They say, God is not a super parent in the sky who does not tolerate backtalk from his children. Instead, God craves relationships. God craves relationships that are honest, that are open. God wants us to share exactly what we are feeling. In some ways, the relationship is like a marriage. If one partner is angry with the other but does not express that anger, then the anger begins to build up inside, and what it does is it begins to eat away at that relationship. It causes tension and strife because that anger is not being expressed. If, however, the couple is able to find ways to talk about that anger, then intimacy can be created. Look, I know it's a lot easier said than done, right? It's much easier to say that. But if we are able to do that, we find intimacy is often formed when honesty is expressed. The same is true in our relationship with God. What we find is God wants us to be honest and open, and we learn to express our anger with God. God wants us to share those feelings so that we might move to a deeper, stronger connection with Him. If, on the other hand, we bottle up that anger, we begin to feel disconnected from God and maybe even begin to think that God has abandoned us. You see, what we find is anger is not contrary to our faith. Instead, anger is a natural and normal part of grief. Being angry with God will not destroy our relationship with God. As Paul writes, nothing can separate us from the love of God. In fact, being honest with God about our anger, like Martha, can actually bring us closer to God. When death comes, when we are grieving, it is okay, even for Christians, to be angry. But not everyone experiences that. Think about Mary. Mary has a very different experience. When she is grieving the loss of her brother, she may be angry, but the overwhelming experience for Mary is sadness and pain and despair. We find her coming to Jesus after her sister Martha. She says the exact same thing Martha says. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But look at her posture. Instead of standing looking Jesus in the eye, she is at his feet on the ground with tears flowing from her eyes. She is sad. And she says to us, when Christians grieve, it is okay to be sad. I would submit to you that one of the greatest injustices the Western world has imposed on us is the implicit understanding that crying is a form of weakness. And the church, unfortunately, has sometimes compounded that problem, teaching Christians that crying is somehow a lack of faith. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Mary comes to Jesus and falls at his feet, weeping uncontrollably. She is not holding back tears. Mary does not feel like crying is a form of weakness or a lack of faith. She is not thinking that she should simply be happy for her brother who is now in a better place and stop being selfish and thinking about herself. No, Mary falls at the feet of Jesus and she cries and cries and cries. And notice, Jesus does not stop her. We do not see Jesus in this passage saying, okay, Mary, look, that's enough. Stand up, dry your eyes, let's move on. No. He does not tell her to stop. Instead, look at what Jesus does. He begins crying with her. The shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. We see here as clearly as any other place in Scripture, crying is not weakness, nor is it faithlessness, nor is it selfishness. Sadness and crying are normal parts of grieving. This is the way God created us. And when we experience death and grief, it is normal. In fact, I want to make this point even more strongly this morning. It is really an injustice to ourselves and to others to feel that we must be strong and not cry when we are sad and grieving. There is an ancient Jewish proverb, and it says this: what soap is to the body, tears are to the soul. When we are grieving, when we are sad, it is an injustice to ourselves and to others not to express that, to feel that somehow we must overcome our humanity when we are grieving. Mary gives us a great example. But then there's Jesus. We've already mentioned that Jesus wept in this story, but the question really is, why? Why would Jesus weep here? He knows what's about to happen. He knows that he is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knows that soon everyone is going to be happy and joyous. So why would Jesus weep? I believe it is because Jesus felt and experienced the same sadness that Mary was feeling. He empathized with her. Jesus was saying to Mary and to us that he knows all about pain and sorrow, and he stands there right beside us, weeping as we weep, crying as we cry. Jesus is not one to stand at a distance and offer easy, cheerful words in the face of deep, painful feelings. No. Jesus is not one who stands removed from the pain and suffering of those around him. No, Jesus was right there in the middle of the sorrow and the pain. And in this text, Jesus was experiencing all of the sadness that Mary was experiencing. Their pain was his pain. Their sorrow was his sorrow. Their tears were his tears. And in so doing, Jesus teaches us that in the midst of death and grief, God's presence is right there with us. God's grace is sufficient for our every need. Because God's presence is right there with us, then God provides what we must have to make it through even the most difficult times of our lives. Jesus teaches us that God understands how we feel, and God is always with us as we experience death, sorrow, pain, and grief. The greatest words of hope come from Jesus as he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." We are comforted today. We are comforted this weekend. We are comforted in our moments of grief and our experiences of grief. We are comforted in knowing that for those who have died, those who have preceded us in death, they do not remain dead. Rather, they go forth to live with Christ forever. And one day, we too will be with them. One day, We shall behold his glory and his majesty. One day we shall join the heavenly band of saints and glorify God for all eternity with our loved ones who have gone before us. But for now, in the midst of our sadness, our anger, and our grief, we have God's presence. We know that God is with us. We know that God is comforting us. We know that God is assuring us. Our grief is different. Not because we don't experience anger, not because we don't cry, not because we're not sad. Our grief is different because we experience these things with hope. That's what makes our grieving different. And there's one more thing we remember on this Memorial Day weekend. Here's what we know. We know that our loved ones who have gone before us in death, though they have died, they are not far from us. Though physically absent from this earth, they remain close to us. How do we know that to be true? Well, as the great preacher Peter Marshall once said, those we love are with the Lord, and the Lord has promised to be with us. Now, if they are with the Lord, and the Lord is with us, then they cannot be far away. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, for your comforting and assuring word on this Memorial Day weekend, we are grateful. Lord, each one of us has walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and each one of us has experienced it differently. But we thank you, God, that in the midst of our anger, in the midst of our sadness, in the midst of our confusion and our despair, you are right there with us. And we thank you for the promises that come to us through your words and through your experience. So Lord, bless us this weekend as we reflect. Bless us this weekend as we remember. Bless us this weekend as we give thanks to grieve, but to grieve as those who have hope. So lead us and guide us in this way, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.